Hello, everybody. This is Frank with Iron Age News. It's the 25th of October. All you armchair generals out there, this is your time to shine. We're talking about how the U.S. government, and especially the U.S. military, loves to waste money and how it loves to waste human life. And it's just never going to change, right? Pretty much. Saw the documentation from Defense Weekly about the new U.S. Army light tank. Okay. Those of you say, why a light tank? And they said, because there's money sitting around, right? The new light tank, which they don't call it a light tank, is called the Mobile Protected Firepower Vehicle. All right. Doesn't have a name yet, except for Cash Suck. Once again, there'll be links to articles about the tank itself. And then we'll go from there. All right. So this thing is a 38-ton light tank, much, much smaller than the M1 Abrams that we have today. The disturbing thing, again, is I'll quote this out for the one article. In October, the Army is expected to announce a proper name for its newest cash suck. The machine is essentially a light tank, an armor turreted and track vehicle with a big gun. The U.S. announced it is spending $1.14 billion on this tank, which is formerly called the Mobile Protected Firepower Vehicle. The contract awarded to General Dynamics Land Systems will deliver between 26 and 96 vehicles, with the first set to arrive in 2024, which means they've been working on it already, or something to that effect. Disturbingly, $1.14 billion doesn't tell you how many tanks you get. It says, well, we want between 26 and 96. And then you say to yourself, well, am I getting the 26 for 1.14 or 96? You're probably getting one for 1.14. And then everything after that will just be a total shitstorm. Because what we're finding, for those of you who have been watching the Ukrainian fiasco, that the Soviet Union especially has realized that European warfare in this day and age is a fucking death valley for tracked fighting vehicles. The U.S. Army, in its infinite wisdom, has decided to throw away everything it knew about desert fighting and whatever the hell it didn't learn there and whatever the hell it didn't learn in Afghanistan and turn itself back to doctrine for fighting in Eastern Europe. They're going to do this. Check this out, right? They're going to do this by forming entirely new doctrine. Which, what the fuck did they do with all the doctrine from the Cold War, right? What did you do with all the plans and all the tactics and all the this and all the that from the Cold War? Well, obviously, some general needs to get promoted. So we're going to write up entirely new doctrine and go from there. However, the addition of this light tank obviously doesn't come from any kind of consideration about what the hell's been happening in the Ukrainian battlefield. And they'll say, oh yeah, it does. It said the little stuff. You see small tracked vehicles, the BMPs, I guess they are, or something like that. They made a bunch of tracked and wheeled things that look a lot alike, that have little turrets on them. They are smoking those fucking things, left, right, and center. They are getting smoked, okay? So we're going to bring another tracked vehicle into the fold, which will be lightly armored, which means it cannot withstand the attacks of weapons similar to Javelin, probably from Javelin, because God knows where they all ended up, right? And there's haters out there that say, oh, well, you know, it's not always about the top armor. Well, if everything attacks you from the top, it is about the top armor. They're also telling you in this that where was this? It was another crazy thing. So it's carrying a 105-millimeter gun, right? Which is a fairly good-sized gun, which is why they took, and this is what bothers me about the costs. They basically scaled down the M1 Abrams' turret and then added some aluminum interfacing there, which, you know what happens to aluminum when it gets hit really hard? All right, enough said, right? To add this 105 gun to it. And then it says later on that, well, this is only supposed to move around with other armored fighting vehicles. It's not supposed to be with tank units. the concept with the light tank forever has been to use as cavalry scout. Okay, that's why they used to call, that's why they were all named like the Stuart and stuff like that. It was all cavalry generals. That was the old reason why they had names along those lines, was to name them after cavalry generals. Okay, because the cavalry scout, it's fast. It's armored enough that like a 50 cal can't go through it. And then there's the issue, you know, after that. Survivability on the battlefield is limited. The Germans had the Lynx, which had a double machine gun turret. Once again, it's a scouting vehicle. This is telling you that it's going to send these things into the mix, along with probably the Bradley, if it's still out there. And where the hell is this other thing they're going to be using? Well, they're still going to use the Stryker. Stryker has the same gun. So basically, for the billions of dollars you're getting a gun system that we already know works on Stryker, which is a wheeled vehicle, by the way. You're getting a shrunk down Abrams turret. You're getting a majority of the electronics from Abrams. So what are we getting new for the billions of dollars? Basically, they said, well, we shrunk the Abrams down. Well, the Abrams was good when it was whatever it was, 70 tons of Abrams. Now it's down to 38 tons, right? Which probably makes it a medium tank. I don't know how they do their numbers anymore, but I think it would really be closer to a medium tank. Light would have been probably heavier than Stryker, heavier than Bradley. Bradley's an APC kind of. So it'd be almost like the German Martyr, which was a troop carrier, but something like size of that. And the other constraints, of course, was a width issue because they want to be able to put it on certain aircraft. However, this is being assigned, and you watch it in the videos, 82nd Airborne, their commander signed off on this because, you know, maybe get a star out of it. It's not a droppable armored vehicle, which means it has to be landed by aircraft. Now, we don't do a whole hell of a lot of mass D-Day style airborne drops anymore. If we do, please tell me where they are. I know guys have said they've done it in the Ranger Regiment, but once again, that's not dropping artillery, vehicles, armored vehicles, flat screen televisions, whatever the hell else. What operates at a high end for Ranger Regiment pales in comparison to what the airborne divisions bring into the battlefield with them. They are small little armies, which was the downfall of airborne, in my mind. Downfall of the airborne division was they kept accumulating, and same that the Marine Corps did. And you see the Marine Corps had to jettison its tanks and things like that, right? The airborne divisions, 82nd, 101st, and to some level, the 175th Brigade, I can never remember its name, in Italy, are reactionary forces. But they are our combat troops pretty much for today. That's your frontline combat troop until the other guys show up to do regular maintenance. If you looked at all the shoulder boards or whatever you want to call them in the different theaters of war for the past X amount of years, if they weren't a National Guard unit, were either the Marine Corps or one of these airborne divisions to majority extent. There's a few that fought in there and other units, fine. But the initial contact units are usually going to be something like that. If I'm wrong, correct me. I'll go with that. I'm not the Jane's group guy sitting here in the television, right? So anyway, they buy something that has to have a secured airfield. So I'm attacking whoever in Eastern Europe, right? In Eastern Europe, I'm going to have this fucking thing. Go look at a map of Eastern Europe. How am I going to get my aircraft in? First of all, how do I get my aircraft in there to drop my whole airborne division, right? It's not 1944 anymore. Deniability of airspace is much, much easier to do. Same thing where we have now where the idea of the swarm mentality of these unmanned drones are going to be all over the place. It's hide and seek again. You want to have a stealthier looking vehicle. This thing is just a shrunken version. It's like they left the Abrams out in the rain. They needed to have something a bit stealthier, I think a little more curved armor would have been nice. You know, let's get rid of some of these ricochets. Is there a countermeasure system available? Is there an inexpensive countermeasure system available for Javelin? I hear there are countermeasures you can use against Javelin. I'm not going to put them on here because I don't want to die in a car crash in the next 2-3 days. Also, they did not take advantage of certain issues, certain opportunities, and the U.S. military has not taken care of these opportunities for years. The last time I think we saw a good version of what I'm talking about, which is a fusion of actual commercial equipment production and military design, would be the Sherman tank. Everybody loves to hate the Sherman, right? I don't like it either. But the point was, we could crank those fucking things out for like $75. And at that point, they figure, well, the Germans can shoot them up. We can get more guys to drive them because they're not hard to do. They're not hard to build. The gun's kind of garbage, but you know, I wouldn't want to get shot with it, which they eventually changed the cannon technology. Let's not get into that. The point of the matter was, easy to manufacture, economic, cost effective, mission effective. It filled a lot of slots. This thing that they're building now fills none of those slots. It's not cheap. It's not going to do multiple jobs. They're saying they're going to put it into that field. But here's what's going to come down. Any of you guys that play any kind of role-playing games, let's say, go find one that has whatever, the Germans against the Russians. Get yourself into those kind of woods and look at what an anti-tank screen can do to the tanks. So that's what you're going to be playing at. If you're going to send this thing in as like a tank amongst little armored toys, they're going to smoke this thing. Well, first of all, the idea that you would want to try to run an armored assault with fucking this and Strikers and Bradleys, you know, what are we thinking about here? What are you going to overrun? Unless it's a bunch of guys sitting in a tent, you know, anybody who has an effective anti-tank screen, and they're going to, you know, there's guys I've seen on one of these videos, it's like, well, you know, in World War II, the Americans had the bazooka, which, yeah, worked well against the King Tiger. And the Germans had the Panzerfaust, which, you know, you had to get up on the guy. The Panzer Schreck is what you want to be rolling with. I mean, at least as far as I know, Panzerfaust was a cheaper version. Schreck was actually a bazooka-looking device. And they're saying, oh, that was making kills, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, the whole point is you can blow the tracks off the fucking thing and it's game over for a while. You can get around it then, you know. If you want total kills, fine. Javelin, I know, like I said, there are countermeasures for that. Carl Gustav, there's countermeasures for. You have to want to save them, you know. And now the thing's going to be when you do what we call counter battery. And I don't know if they've been using that yet, because the Russians just can't coordinate their telecommunications with artillery or with their air. But if you have drones up and somebody fucking smokes one of your T-62s, and I know where it was, you know, grid-wise, as far as my drone's able to give me a muzzle flash, when these things go off, they all have an imprint. You know, you just can't set off a rocket-propelled anything and not see it somewhere. Your counter battery fire can be pretty quick if you know what you're looking for. You know, especially if it's a loitering munitions drone, because it's fucking point and shoot, right? You start killing groups like that, it's going to be different. If you've seen the Ukrainians fighting with Javelin and RPGs and stuff like that, the minute they shoot one or two of these things, they're already on the move because they know somebody can turn around and just hose down the woods with Dishka or whatever they've got, okay? So back to this. Why a track vehicle? Who knows? Why is it this design? Because it was able to get General Dynamics the contract. I remember when there was a call to an open call, I think, for this, and myself and two other guys were going to just send in a couple of drawings and explain a couple of things. And we knew it wouldn't get accepted, but the point of the matter is we'd have to acknowledge it. We may do it next time. On the commercial side of this, Caterpillar, International, companies like that are already making these parts, already understand the drive systems, already understand the hydraulic systems. The hydraulic system's all important in a lot of these things. I forget what the turret operates on, if it's an electric turret or hydraulic turret. But the fact of the matter is, and there was supposed to be an environmental concept, which is why they probably changed the engine. So the engine may not really be the engine you want. Here's what we were going to do to go around the environmental part of it. We were going to make a port, and they could carry X amount of solar panels on the back deck while they're in transport at night. I mean, during the day, if they had the ability to, if they're non-combat, they could roll them out and be charging the batteries and run something bullshit like the cigarette lighter. And that would obviously be enough to cover the environmental issues. The new vehicle they have is diesel, fine by that. Diesel's always good. What nobody looked at was a current technology, which is seen at a lot of construction sites. As these devices get bigger and bigger, there's a thing called a Bobcat, which is a skid steer loader. They've gotten bigger because everybody is trying to make something big enough that it can do a lot more work than having to go to the next bigger one, where you'd either have to hire a union guy or pay somebody a lot of money. Just like you see these incredibly long trailers that attach to the back of a dually, because nobody wants to get Class B license, CDL Class B, which is like dump truck with a trailer. Class A is a tractor trailer license. These are federal licenses, so everybody who's faking whatever would get caught. Also, that's a lower blood alcohol level, so even if you were out torn up 2 days before, if you're still drunk, you're still going to get your license taken away. That's a story for another day. The skid steers now, and a few of the other vehicles, I have to go to Caterpillar and take a look because I think it would be interesting. Because they all make them now. Bobcat, I think, was the original. Bobcat's down here, I believe, in Hollandale, Florida. This one, it's not the original, but it's pretty big. These were rubber tire loaders. They can get them where they're filled with some type of foam. So it's got some give. It's not air, but it's got some give, but also keeps it from going flat, right? They now make, and they've made it for a number of years, I think they've got it pretty much down to a science, roll-on tracks that go over the tire. So you lay it down, you drive into it, you flip it up, and now you're a track vehicle. So if the issue is really traversing problem terrain, you could easily have these things strapped onto the sides. It's extra armor too, man. You know, just look at it that way. It's extra armor too. So you'd have a wheeled vehicle, which you can actually fix the issue of the steering. There's a couple of things you can do. I'm not going to talk about it now. And the other times you'd have a track vehicle. Wonderful, right? Kill two birds. If you're really trying to kill two birds with one stone, that would be the thing. You could up armor it a bit more than Stryker or Bradley. I think the issue that they're going to find, especially with IEDs and things like that, would have been what you saw with the AMRAP, which I believe is a knockoff of an old South African army vehicle, has high sides. The high sides, at least with the flare, which you'd have on the inside, inside of the idler wheels and everything, the road wheels, would be to deflect the blast upward and outward. So even if you have a thick belly plate or a thick side plate on the bottom, you know, you're trying to keep the blast. It's going to do something that'll probably save your people. Flat bottom plate, I don't know. I'd have to see the fatalities of the M1 versus IEDs. Figure if they're putting a 105 or if they get a 155 shell, fucking you up anyway, right? So there's a lot going on. I think there was a lot more that was being left on the table to make a really functional vehicle. I'm not saying you're going to have some wildly exciting vehicle doing it the way I'm talking about, but I believe the taxpayer would have been able to save a good amount of money. The military would have ended up with a pretty decent survivable vehicle. They're telling you one thing with this policy on how they want to do this other stuff. It's in, it'll be in the explaining the MPF light tank. I think it's in that video. Yeah, I think it's in that one. The Binkhoff is always good because they get a lot of good information, and just because there's a puppet on at the beginning doesn't mean shit. The guys know what they're talking about. So they're, like I said, for the doctrine that they're talking about, it doesn't make sense. If they were going to use it as a tank killer, which we don't really tank kill anymore, meaning we camouflage the vehicle in place. And then as they get in, it was a big World War II thing. Hide the vehicle. We had if we had the range on them, which is why the German army had the 88 and the 128, which is a massive round. They had the range on. So they're in cover, bang, they knock out two or three of your tanks and they're on the move, right? That's what you would be able to do with something that actually that we're discussing more so than this thing. They could do the same thing. If it was going to be like, say, prepared ambush, you'd have one or two of these, maybe a couple of the Bradleys just to get the guys the hell out of there and set up X amount of the Gustavs or X amount of the Javelins or whatever you got to play with and just fucking rake a column as it's coming in. You know, immediately, if you could, call for combat air or combat artillery to cover your retreat, and off you go. There's a decent doctrine. It's been used 1,000 times, right? So we've got the enclosed kills, bang, bang, bang. Maybe we kill the command vehicle or whatever the hell we're out there to do. And we're already moving under cover of air and artillery. You know, throw up a couple colored smokes so the air knows where you are if they're already loitering. But that's a couple ideas. Those of you out there who are going to do design in the future, continually doing this bullshit regurgitation. And you know, the Abrams is 40 years old, 40-year-old tank design. Not that it, you know, and it wasn't the best tank on the planet at the time. It was a good tank, but people aren't saying, my God, how would we get rid of it? In fact, you're seeing that we're going to go back and just remod it, because they realize it's cheaper. If you're remodding the M1 tank, which is mostly not combat shit, probably it's interior stuff, then you have to say to yourself, how bad is the armor threat out there, right? I'm using a 40-year-old tank to fight. It would be like, what would that be, in Vietnam fight? Well, they did have it in the Golan Heights, right? The Syrians had Panzers. So it would be something like that. Okay, the need isn't being filled. The actual need isn't being filled. They're trying to come up with some bullshit. They're not taking into consideration anything that you, the average citizen right now, can tell you the survivability of armor in Eastern Europe in conflict just by watching YouTube videos. Because this thing is going to be like, I guess it's a BMP or something like that. They're tracked vehicles. Or like a personnel carrier with a turret. This won't be a personnel carrier. This will be more of a slugger. But once again, still falls into that kind of a category. And I worry about the survivability of the crews based on the fact that if it's going out there, you know, it's supposed to be a scout vehicle. If you're trying to turn it into a mini battle tank, and it's going up against, let's say you're going to use it as spearhead, because you know this kind of shit's happened. If you remember, I'll give you the example of a TV show, Generation Kill, where they're strong pointing a city with unarmored Humvees. Imagine what some idiot's going to do when he's got this toy tank sitting around. He says, stick that fucking thing out in the field. That'll stop everybody, right? Until they rain on it. And then he's gone. You know, and now you have a real issue because you're starting to see blown up American tanks. Nobody likes to see that on television. So there you have it. All right, long, drawn out. Sorry about that, but it's just the design issues bother me to no end when they do this kind of shit. So otherwise, you have a good was it Monday or Tuesday? Have a good Tuesday. And I'll talk to you all later on. Yes, if I can turn it off. There you go.